We have been engaged in a series called Christ the Branch and Our Call to Bear Fruit. Each week we've had a key verse related to this imagery and also applied it in such a way as to learn how to be fruitful plantings of the Lord. Our key verse for today is taken from the Revelation to John. To everyone who conquers, I will give permission to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. Revelation 2:7. Over these past weeks, we've heard about a branch, a vine, and four trees. The first tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was the tree that God placed in the center of the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were to obey God's command concerning this tree. You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. They had everything they wanted, everything they needed, except there was one thing they wanted that they weren't supposed to have, and they took it. Now, this was more than just disobedience, a lot more. It was their desire to be like God, that is, to choose for themselves what is true, what is good, what is beautiful. They knew right from wrong, but the source of that was God. But they rejected that. They wanted to be the standard for choosing what is good, what is true, and what is beautiful. In a sense, the snake or serpent didn't so much deceive them as he exploited a desire already present. Listen, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. In other words, they believed they could do just as good a job as God. Actually, they thought they could do a better job at it than God in establishing what is good, what is true, and what is beautiful. But they could not. Consequently, truth became stained with lies, goodness corrupted with evil, and beauty with hatred. Take and eat, says the evil one, and you won't need God. But it is a lie. And when we believe the lie, we fall. Our relationship with nature becomes cursed. Our relationship with each other, cursed. Our relationship with God, cursed. And this self-deception continues to plague humanity to this day. We share in the rebellion of our biblical parents, daily adding our own disobedience and rebellion against God. And so we too suffer the sentence of death. From dust you came, to dust you shall return. But God, our Creator, loved all that He had made. He loved the people He had created. Death would not be the final word. Already in Eden, God announced a promise of hope. A descendant of the woman would come to destroy the power of the tempting serpent. Down through the ages, God spoke again and again through the prophets, always pointing to the child of the woman, the son of a virgin, who would come to destroy the ancient serpent and set things right. God would raise up a righteous branch from the family tree of Israel's King David. And this is the second tree of our series. This is also referred to as the tree of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. And so it was from this family tree that the lines of kings came. But that came to an abrupt halt in 587 BC when the kingdom of Judah was conquered by the Babylonians. However, you cannot thwart the promises of God. And God promised there would be an offshoot. God promised that there would be a righteous branch, a living shoot that would spring up from the ruined stump of Judah's royal line. The righteous branch would bring justice and righteousness. He would save his people, and they would dwell securely in his kingdom. The dust of death would not claim them forever. Life, not death, would be the last word. All right, so how many trees have we covered so far? Okay, just see if... The third tree, the third of four trees, is the tree of the cross. And as I pointed out before, no, the cross is not literally a tree, okay? But it's made out of wood, and it's affixed upright. So it gained the nickname of tree. When the time was right, God sent his son into the world. He's our Savior, Jesus Christ, the child of the woman, the righteous branch of the royal house of David, rejected by the very people he came to save. The righteous branch was cut down, and he was nailed to the tree of the cross. There, the innocent Son of God was hanged in humility and shame, carrying the sins of the world. From the sin of Adam and Eve, to our own sin, to the sin of all those yet to come, in his body on the tree. There on the tree of the cross, Jesus, the righteous branch of David, took the curse of Adam and Eve's disobedience, took the curse of our disobedience onto himself. You may remember earlier in the series referring to the Apostle Paul, who said, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. His saving work accomplished, Jesus' body was taken down from the tree of the cross and buried in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, the righteous branch sprang to life. The crucified Savior is our risen and living vine. By faith, we are united to that vine. By faith, we are united to him and nourished by his word and sacrament. In him, as branches grafted into the vine, we bear the fruit of love and service to the glory of God. So how many trees so far? How many does that leave? Oh, this is a good group. Yeah, really good. Good, really good group. One tree left, and that's the tree of life. The last time we saw the tree of life, it was mentioned as being in Eden. And it was forbidden to Adam and Eve, so they would not eat of it and live forever in their fallen state. Mighty angels and a flaming sword were set in place to guard the way to that forbidden tree. As their descendants multiplied on the earth, sin also multiplied. In righteous judgment, God destroyed all flesh with a flood, saving Noah, his family, and pairs of animals. After the flood, God promised never again to send a flood to destroy all flesh. While the earth remains, God said, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. But there's another day coming. The day when Jesus, the righteous branch, the crucified and risen king, returns in glory to judge the earth. On that day, he will summon all nations to stand before him. Those who rejected Jesus as king will have given evidence of their faithlessness by their lack of love and service. Those who in faith acknowledge Jesus as King will have displayed evidence of the genuineness of their faith, much to their surprise, if you caught the reading earlier from Matthew 25, much to their surprise, in acts of love and service to others, service that was actually being offered to Christ himself. They will hear the invitation of the King. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God, our Creator, will create a new heaven and a new earth, restoring what was lost. Now, we do not know exactly what the new creation will look like. We have hints. So, for example, in 2 Peter, we're told it's a place in which righteousness dwells. And the book of Revelation provides us with lots of imagery. Symbolic, to be sure, but suggestive. A wonderful home of righteousness. A river flowed out of Eden, and in the paradise of God, a river flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And by that river of the water of life is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit and its leaves for the healing of all the nations. It is a tree of life and healing that brings to mind that righteous person mentioned in Psalm 1. Remember, we covered that a couple weeks ago. Psalm 1. A tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. This is a tree of life and healing that brings to mind the righteous one, the righteous branch of the house of David, our Lord Jesus. He is the righteous branch who, through the tree of the cross, has become for us a tree of life. Let me restate that. Jesus Christ, through the tree of the cross, has become the tree of life. And this tree is not guarded. This tree is not forbidden. In fact, Jesus says, to everyone who conquers, I will give permission to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. Now, how do we conquer? How do we become conquerors? Well, even that is accomplished for us by Christ. Jesus, our King, invites us to partake of the eternal life he won for us by his death and resurrection. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life. Jesus has conquered. And so by faith, his victory becomes our victory. We didn't do it, but by the grace of God, we receive the benefits of it. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, forgiveness and eternal life are ours because Jesus won them for us. And then the other key term is paradise. You may recall words we often hear close to Easter time, around Good Friday. Jesus said to the penitent thief who was crucified with him, truly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now this word paradise is borrowed from the Persian language. It refers to a walled garden where friends of the king would be invited to walk with the king. That's the imagery. So what this means is that if we turn back to our king, if we turn back to Christ, he receives us as friends. And we get to walk with him in his pleasure garden, so to speak. And not only that, we can bring other friends along. We can invite others to become friends of the king and walk in the garden. Paradise. Together we can share in his victory and live in his love. Then, one day, you and I will hear the invitation to celebrate in God's eternal healing forgiveness, to celebrate the joy of being in God's eternal presence. And our King says to us, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.